Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're both back after Hugh was sipping some wine over the past week.
Sipping wine.
In the Poconos, whites, reds, all the different kinds of wines. All right, your reaction to this. I don't believe the Phillies are a lock to make the playoffs. There's a lot of conversation out there about what they are, what they aren't, what they need to go win the World Series. And I'm like, wait, can we walk before we run? Can we crawl before we walk? The Phillies are a half game up in first place. I think they have unfortunately wasted a month of really bad Mets baseball. What a month of mediocre Phillies baseball. They should be up five games. Instead, we're up a half here in a very challenging National League. I think they are likely to make the playoffs, but not a lock. Where do you guys come down? Are the Phillies a lock to make the playoffs? We'll go through a lot of the names over the course of the day that have been rumored out of the Phillies, and there's a lot of names now that are popping up. We saw some guys this weekend in an Angels uniform. Taylor Ward certainly would look good here in a Phillies uniform. We'll get to all that the weekend that was. 215-592-9494. Rhea's going to join us at 11. But let's get to what some of the things John Middleton said this weekend. He spoke on Friday before the game. I thought this was interesting, and you know, you always wonder how much of this stuff is posturing, how much is just really what he feels. But here's Middleton Friday talking about, hey, you can make a big move, it could work, and it still might not lead to a World Series. Here's Middleton Friday night.
If you go back to like 9, 10, and 11 for us, when Ruben was the general manager, he did an extraordinary job. You know, got Cliff Lee in 09 at the trade deadline, added Pedro shortly after that. You know, after 09 season, in the offseason, he brought in Roy Halladay, extended him, you know, brought in Roy Oswalt in 10 at the trading deadline, re-signed Cliff, you know, after 10 during the offseason, brought in Hunter Pence. Every move he made, it was an A-plus move. And every player that he brought in performed at a very high level. And we still lost. You know, and not only did we not win the World Series, but we exited every year one round earlier than the year before. And then, so if you kind of empty the cupboard, you can do everything right and you still don't win. It's a bad call, it's a bad break, you know, a bad bounce of a ball. It's some guy who just gets ridiculously hot and on the other team and beat you. So those things, you have to take that, you have to weigh all that, because we're going to be playing baseball in 5 or 10 years from now, right?
Yeah.
And we want the fans to be excited about the team 5 or 10 years from now. And that, and to do that, you can't just trade everybody.
Hugh, what did you make of that? Because he's not wrong. What he said in the beginning is absolutely right. Like, the Phillies could trade for the best available player.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they're definitely going to win the World Series. And he referenced, like, hey, we traded for Cliff Lee. Hey, we traded for Roy Oswalt. We traded for Hunter Pence. Those were all good trades. They all helped made the team better. And none of those years, they won the World Series. But at the end, when he's like, hey, the Phillies are going to be playing baseball in 5 years, and we want people to be excited then, it makes me wonder if that's his way of saying we're not going to get the best guy out there because we're thinking long-term, not just short-term.
Well, you're right about that, because that's one of the first things that popped into my head. Joe was like, damn, why? I understand being forthcoming,
mm-hmm.
but you can't tell people, you can't always tell them how the sausage is made, man.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Because that makes a lot of sense, and you're right. But when you tell that to your fan base, the first question that pops in my head is, okay, well, why are you telling us this story? Do you think you're going to fall short? And then the emphasis for me was on, we fell shorter and shorter every year. Like, dog, you can't, like, if you feel that way, you can't share that, because you're the man in charge. You're the guy that's making the moves. You're the guy that puts these players in position. So basically, you're throwing a caveat out there like, hey, we're going to make these moves, but it's still not guaranteed we're going to win the Super Bowl,
right,
or we're going to win the World Series. We're going to try to win it, but no, nobody wants to hear that. Like, I don't believe in lying to people, but sometimes you have to massage the truth just a little
yes.
bit.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? And when you say it like that, man, anybody that's listening to what you're saying, that's exactly what they hear. What do you mean? Like, you're already, it's almost like you're installing a mechanism just in case you lose, to say, hey, well, I tried to tell you, we made the move. No, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear about the labor pain. Show me the baby.
You know what I want to hear from John Middleton on Friday? Our goal is to win the World Series.
That's it.
We're doing everything we can to win the World Series. Obviously, I mean, we all know they're not going to purposely trade away everything of their future for right now. They have to have one eye on that, but I don't know. I don't need you to remind me about that. I understand that they didn't win the World Series in 11 and 10 and 9. We all watched the whole thing. It almost felt to me like he was setting us up for, we might not get who you think we're going to get, But hey, even if we got him, we might not win the World Series.
And it's a little bit scary, too, because the past few years, it's kind of been the same
thing.
Exactly. Like, we went all the way, then we got a step further away, and a step further away, and a step further away. Is he have a safety valve out now? Like, hey, if we're another step further away this year, we tried. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. Like, you either succeed or you don't. 215-592-9494. He also said this, and this is interesting because there's so many teams still in the race right now, right? That, you know, look at the wild card race. There's probably only, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 teams that are more than 5 games back of a spot. Like, there's a lot of teams still in this thing. That's what happens with the extra wild card. Here's what he said about people we might think are available. Maybe they're not actually as available as we think they are. Here's Middleton on Friday.
Some players you think we should be getting, they're not going to be available. And other players you want us to get, they're going to be available, and it's going to be an arm and a leg, and we're going to say no. I mean, we had that problem last year with Crochet at the trade deadline. We made a spectacularly good offer. So good that Dave looked at me at one point and he said, I don't know that I should be doing this. And he said, you know what? I'm ambivalent. If they take the deal, great. If they don't take the deal, great. I'm really happy with keeping the guys we were going to give them. And that's the way I was. And I think, so you have to balance that. And that's, look, he's got 40 years in the business. And he makes, nobody's perfect. Nobody makes every call right. But he's made a lot of them really well. And so you just have to trust Dave to kind of think this through.
It's interesting, Hugh, with the trust Dave, and, you know, last year they made a big offer for Crochet, but ultimately it didn't get the player. I think it was one of the days I was out, I saw a clip of you and TK talking about the idea of trusting Dombrowski. Like, Dombrowski's track record is amazing, right? 40 years, he's won the World Series multiple times, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. His track record with the Phillies isn't quite as great.
No, it's not as stellar.
Yeah, because he's had these moments in the past where he's gotten the guy to put his team over the top. With the Phillies, it hasn't happened yet. And I hope this is the year, because they're not getting any younger. It feels like if it doesn't happen now, I don't know if it's ever happening with this team.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you feel like they're getting older, especially Bryce.
Yeah.
He felt a little mortal this year. Now, luckily for him, it didn't take him that long to get going. It felt like it was just a couple of days, and then he was back to doing Bryce Harper things. But still, as you meander through this and as you get older, hell, 7 years? That's how long he's been here?
This is the 7th year, yeah.
7 years. That's a long-ass time.
Yep, it is.
And when you talk about, and I hate to bring this up, but it's the truth. I mean, and this is a part of his legacy, and I'm pretty sure it's probably starting to weigh heavy on his mind, too. The Nationals won when you left. You know, and I know that's not a thing that we like to talk about.
But it's the truth.
But it's the truth.
It happened.
It's the truth. And you've been here, and you've been an integral part of this Philly success over the last 7 seasons. And you've gotten close. You got there. But you've kind of been regressing the last couple seasons. So, yeah, that has to, as a former player, that starts to weigh on you a little bit. You start to wonder, like, damn, will I ever break through? Will I ever get back to that moment and actually win one?
Yeah, like, I understand that an owner and a GM have to posture, right? They can't come out and say exactly what they're thinking, exactly what they want to do, because they're just signaling to everyone, hey, ask us for everything we have because we're desperate. I know that. I just hope deep down there is a sense of urgency from especially the owner, but the GM as well, to make the right move. Because as I've said all morning, I don't even think they're locked to make the playoffs right now. They need help. I mean, we saw the lineup this week, and Hugh, we got the news on Saturday, Alec Bohm, which is pretty bizarre, right? He got hit by a pitch 2 Sundays ago, and then he had the All-Star break, and then he came back and played Friday, and then Saturday, yeah, we got a fractured rib. So Alec Bohm's going to be down for a few weeks. So I watch this lineup right now, and it's like, all right, Trey, all right, Bryce, all right, Schwarber, and then it's, uh-oh. I mean, I heard Ruben this morning say this lineup after 5 falls off really
tremendously.
I mean, that's – and, Hugh, every rumor we see says the Phillies are in on arms, bullpen arms. Hugh, they need a bat, too. Like, I don't know what order they're watching, what lineup they're watching. They think this is good enough. They need another bat.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they feel like, you know, with Bryce turning the corner a little bit, you know, and it's harder to get a bat, Joe. It's probably easier to go out there and try to get some pitching than it is
probably
a really
is.
Good bat, especially when you talk about – how tightly grouped everybody is. So you have to be real strategic in trying to figure that out right now.
Well, I understand that, but I just hope there's some urgency there. Because if they don't add a bat and Robertson is the arm, I mean, like, that's it's not going to be good enough. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Are the Phillies a lock to make the playoffs? Because they're operating and acting and talking like they are. I hope deep down there's a more of a sense of urgency in what they have to do here. It is our Twitter question. Interesting, early on, the Twitter poll, 59% say no. They are not a lock to make the playoffs. Where do you come down? Aaron in San Diego, up
Aaron.
On WIP. Hey, Aaron.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning, Aaron.
You?
Yes.
How are you?
How you doing, Aaron?
You know, Hugh, if you're ever out in San Diego, I would love to take you out to Temecula. They got about 20 wineries up there. You would love to take you out there. We could do some wine tasting, you know, break some bread, kind of, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I like wine. I think I'm a fan of wine, though. Get you banged up.
I would like to see you and Aaron in a winery together. That would, I'd get enjoyment out of that.
Here's the thing, Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to go and have wine with me, we would do nothing but laugh and have a good time and pick at each other. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we would be comfortable with each other, right? And we'd have fun with each other and pick and stuff like that. But sometimes in life, you think you're a little bit more comfortable than you should be in a situation. And you put something out there, and it doesn't go over as you expected it.
You mean me or you?
Well, I am just talking in general.
Oh, in general, okay.
You know, sometimes you bring the radio to social media, and sometimes it's magic, and other times it's just simply tragic. And the way that it is typed and the way that it is read is two different things. And, you know, being new to social media, it's something that, you know, we have to learn. And I learned a very valuable lesson this weekend.
Okay, I think Hugh's saying we could.
You're forgiven. We're forgiven. But it's like you have to diversify your friend group a little bit and learn how to, when you write things like that, put the LOL, because unfortunately, Aaron, we living in a time right now where some of the lines are blurred and some people get it and some people don't. And it's just hard to say nowadays. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate that it's that way, but that's just how it is.
Just so you know, that face that I put at the end of that statement was a sarcastic face.
But hey, listen,
just so you know, Hugh, you know, in terms of multicultural, I'm married to a Filipino woman. My kids are mixed race.
That's
you know, in California. You can't help but have multicultural friends. My problem is that when I'm with my multicultural friends and we're comfortable, we pick at each other. We have fun with each other.
Yes.
I misread my relationship with you. I got too comfortable, and that's my bad.
You know what, Aaron? It takes a big man to admit when he was wrong, though. I appreciate that, man. And maybe I was a little bit too heavy-handed, but you got to understand, Aaron, I have been drinking for like 4 days straight.
That will change
things. You know what I mean?
That'll alter the response a little bit.
You know what I mean? Been drinking for 4 days straight. And, you know, to go on social media and see that. And I'm like, damn, dog, we out here getting banged up. And we did, you know, like, you know what I mean? Maybe I showed
the interaction to my 17-year-old. And I was like, what do you think of this? He's like, that's pretty funny, Dad. So,
yeah.
You know, but anyways.
Yeah. All right, now that we've hugged and made up, what do you think about the Phillies, Aaron? Are they a lock to make the playoffs?
Hey, you're lucky you did this day, because if Kyle was here,
if Kyle's listening on his way back from wherever he is, he's annoyed that we let you do this for this long. Aaron, are the Phillies locked to make the playoffs?
Okay, so we are World Series bound. I mean, come on.
Oh, geez.
The one issue was the bullpen, right? We filled that this weekend, right?
With a 40-year-old that was unemployed. Yeah,
been here third time's a charm.
Go plan out the route for the parade in November. Go ahead.
Well, here's what I got to say is Middleton.
I was being sarcastic about the parade route.
I can't tell.
I know where it is. He was still banged up.
Listen, I just got a shout out to Middleton, to Dombrowski. You guys better get on your horse and get something done, because we are one day away from our Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles.
We're back!
Preparing for the wagon train.
It is football time. They
winning this day.
They arrive tomorrow.
We are going to camp winning this
and
day.
And Hugh and I are going to be there doing the show live on Wednesday from training camp. We're back. It's football
Reedus,
season.
You know, I'll think about that. Reedus.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I hope they're ready, because I need that Reedus truck out there on Wednesday.
I'm bringing my Bucky's cup.
It might not be free with the Bucky's cup. That cup's too big.
Joe, it's getting to be about that time.
to circle the wagons, light the fires, put the little ones away, because on September 4th, the Eagles wagon train departs for the final destination, Levi's Stadium in Super Bowl 60. Let's go, Birds! E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Like it, Aaron. Good phone call. We haven't had one of those in a while. It's been since an Eagles chant.
Nah, got me kind of fired up.
Me too. I don't know if it's
We are back.
You think it's more because the Eagles are back Wednesday or more because the Phillies are bothering us right now?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay. Because if the Phillies had swept this weekend, I don't know if we get an Eagles chant in the 10 o'clock hour.
That's fair.
I think it's a little bit of both. But yes, camp is back on Wednesday. Now, here's the question, Hugh. Are you excited for football just because football's back? Or are you excited that we will probably take at least a couple day break from breaking down Jalen Hurts and where he ranks on everyone's list?
Well, man, listen. Yeah, Jalen Hurts get a little bit of a rest. But you know what? Since we're here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it took 45 minutes.
Since we're here. I just want to give a shout out to N'Kobe Dean.
Okay.
Because.
Was he at the winery?
No, he wasn't. Okay. But N'Kobe Dean is not afraid of fashion. Did you see his outfit that he had on at the
ring ceremony?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I didn't. So we're going to break down the rings coming in a little while. But yeah. But what was he wearing? I got to look this up.
Man, it was like a bright yellow fit. It was bright. I think that was the at the ring ceremony. But N'Kobe is not afraid to wear colors. He's not afraid to wear colors. And he is not afraid to jump out there in that whole fashion thing. I was just like, wow, because, you know, me being a bigger dude, like, I probably couldn't have pulled that outfit off.
Did you know this about him before? Or is this new?
No, N'Kobe has dressed, like, there's been a few times. I remember when, I think it was at Jalen Carter's, when he got drafted. Mm. He was at his event. And he had on a bright outfit. But he's not afraid of colors, though.
The Eagles have a lot of well-dressed players.
Yeah, I mean, N'Kobe's not afraid to wear colors. Man.
Would you say Devontae is consistently the best dressed?
Well, Devontae's more of, I guess the word is conservative.
Yeah, but his suits pop.
But they pop because he's a slender guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they always look tailor-made.
Is that the N'Kobe thing?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's a
cool suit. Like the bell-bottom pants or something. That's a bold fashion statement right there.
Yes, that's exactly what that was.
You know what I mean? Especially when you got most people now that are going to the more European cut suits, he went with the Steve Harvey look.
What was the one? What was it called? The sucker?
Seersucker?
Seersucker.
Yeah, Seersucker is more like a pattern.
Right.
It's like, you know, when you see, like, it's a Southern suit. Like, it has, like, the polo does them. The polos, the Seersuckers are the nicest. Yeah. But, yeah, Seersucker.
You can tell the show's back now. We had in the first hour here, we've done some wine talk, some race talk, and some some fashion talk.
We're
checking all the boxes.
No, but that
here.
Was a bold, like that's, to go to an event like that and wear that outfit, that was a bold move on his part.
Those are some wide pants.
Yes. It looked like some MC Hammer pants. It gives me a little MC Hammer vibe.
I could see that. I got that one. Dominic's in Cherry Hill. Dom's up. What's up, Dominic?
Yo, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Dominic?
How you doing, buddy?
Getting ready to fry up some bacon. Shout out to Hugh.
Bacon?
Hatfield.
Man, had no bacon in a while, man. Shout out to Hatfield.
Wait, you went a whole vacation without bacon?
Man, I was too busy being banged up.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So, a couple things, guys.
That's a baby. I thought you had a seal in the background for a minute. Then I said, well, that's a baby.
Yes.
I got the little guy right now.
How old?
But I need to
How old is the little guy, Dominic?
He is one of the twins, actually. I have twins, but he's turning three at the end of August.
Oh,
there we go. I mean, he wants some bacon. I can hear it.
Oh, yeah. He's pumped. He said he wants waffles, bacon, all that. We're covering the food. We covered outfits. We're doing it all.
There we go. All right, Dom, what do you got? Are the Phillies a lock? What are you feeling?
Absolutely not. And you know what? Unfortunately, what I took away from this weekend is we're not always going to have Schwarber to bail us out with a grand slam. Like, I was so frustrated during that game. Now, granted, it was an awesome ending towards the game, you know what I mean, with Harper and him going yard. But my God, was it frustrating. The base running errors, you know, I'm not even confident in 5 through 9, like in the lineup. I don't even know if we have protection after Harper at this point. Like, I hate to be a Debbie Downer about it, but I'm just thinking about that Mets series. And to hear that, you know, John Middleton interview, it doesn't give me any confidence that they are going to get something done. And all I keep thinking about is Max Kepler whenever he's talking about Dave Dombrowski. So I just had to say that.
And Dom, I'm so done with Kepler. Every day he's here, I'm more angry. Like Friday night with the pop out, yesterday with the line out, he stinks. Like, it's amazing how many at bats they've given Max Kepler this year. It's insane.
He's horrible. And every time we have somewhat of a momentum, he's a momentum killer.
Yeah.
The game finds him.
He's a Ben Simmons. They're going to start just, evolving a game plan around when he's going to be up. It's a complete weakness. Well, him and Rojas in the lineup together, it's like, what are we doing?
Well, I thought it was telling this weekend when they let Rojas hit. It was a spot where typically they would pinch hit for him with Kepler. I think they're just done with Kepler. I think Topper is now just waiting for Nebraska to get Kepler off the team.
Trying to figure out something to do.
Yeah, I mean,
I would love it.
Yeah.
I'm at the point where you send him out there to bat on the lineup, and then you pinch hit for him in his first at bat. That's where I'm at.
Just to show him, hey, we're done with you here. Dom, we appreciate the phone call. Enjoy the bacon. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Are the Phillies a lock to make the playoffs? I feel like this has been hovering in my brain for about a month and a half now. That like they're not playing like a playoff team. They haven't been playing like a playoff team. Even Saturday, which was an awesome and fun game, with a pair of Harper home runs this weekend, you get the home run by Schwarber, the grand slam Saturday. They needed a Schwarber grand slam to not get swept by the Angels at home. Like, does anyone realize what's going on here? This has been a pretty mediocre team for the better part of a month and a half. Where do you come down on the Phillies? Are they a lock to make the playoffs? I feel like the standings are almost tricking us a little bit. They're in front of the Mets, but the Mets have been one of the worst teams in baseball for a month and a half. They've been on a huge struggle bus. If the Phillies had played better, they could have buried the Mets. They haven't done that. Now we're only a half up. We got to worry about the wild card. Where do you come down? I need reinforcements to make the playoffs. I need an outfield bat. I need another reliever. The Roberts thing is fine, but that's only one piece of the puzzle. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop on. All right, coming up, Rhea Hughes will join us. We'll discuss the Phillies with her. Are they a lock for the playoffs? Middleton's comments and what Ruben Amaro said this morning about the David Robertson signing and what he thought of when they signed David Robertson. It was interesting because it was a comp that Joe DeCamera had as well. And if it works out that way, we're all going to be happy because the guy that they were referencing helped the Phillies get to a World Series. 215-592-9494. Rhea joins us next. Your calls as well. Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.